Welcome to Open Studio, a program where we put a spotlight on the arts, artists, and issues in the cultural community. I'm Tom Musgrave. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day, or at least it will be when this episode airs, and my guests for this segment have experience making that day even more special with their music. Today, we're joined by four members of the Kentuckians Chorus, and I'm going to go ahead and let them introduce yourselves.
I'm Michael French.
Steve Broderson.
My name is Jeff Degler.
And I'm Rob Langdorf.
Great. Welcome, guys. I appreciate you being here. Tell me a little bit about the Kentuckians Chorus. What are you all about?
Yeah, so the Kentuckians Chorus is a men's barbershop chorus that's been in Lexington for about 65 years. We have a changing membership, but we're at about 30 guys right now. And we sing music in the a cappella barbershop style. So it's pretty straightforward, four parts. All that said, it's not all old-timey. We really enjoy doing some of the old classics, but we also really enjoy doing some more modern, popular TV and movie music, really all kinds. It's become a really flexible art form, and it's really accessible in that really guys of almost any level can do it. So, you know, as a community chorus, we're a bunch of guys that are hobbyists, really. We all have day jobs, or several of us have retired, not myself, but some of these guys have. We just do this for fun, for the love of the music, and I have a great time making music together.
Well, it's a good segue into another question I have. Can you all briefly describe barbershop quartet music, and why is it called barbershop?
Well, I wanted to say something. Rob, you know, you'd ask what is barbershop music, and Rob said it's a cappella music. That's actually a musical term. You know, what that means is we have no accompaniment. We literally blow a pitch, and then we sing, you know, whatever melody we're doing. And like Rob said, we do a variety. We do pop music. We do country music. We do all kinds of genres of music. Anything could be done a cappella, and it's really a fun style of music to sing.
And most of the time, everyone is singing a different pitch, correct? So there's no, like, hiding behind somebody else in a section, right?
That's right. It's very uncommon for there to be unison or even three-part chords. There are almost always four-part chords, and typically there's no even octaves. The seventh chord is a real important part of the barbershop style.
So why is it called barbershop?
Going back to the origins, many times what they started out doing was called woodshedding, and one person would sing a melody, and then others who were standing around would join in and find a line of harmony that they could join in with, and you ended up with the four distinct parts with the lead or the melody driving the song and then everyone joining in. And oftentimes that was done in the back room of, say, a barbershop or some other establishment, but I think that moniker just kind of stuck over time.
Like a gathering place.
Barbershop singing.
Well, if you think of barbershop too, you know, it's kind of a guy thing, right? And our course is an all-male course. Now, that there are barbershop courses that are mixed courses. There are barbershop courses that are all female. Ours happens to be an all-male course. And so you can see with that foundation where a place where men would gather would be the barbershop. So it just seems like a natural progression.
And it sounds like in its origins, there wasn't any, like, written down music. It was just men coming together and by ear. Yeah, harmonizing by ear, which is not the easiest thing in the world to do. But they started doing it. Do you all use music, or do you do it by ear?
So we use sheet music. We distribute sheet music to our members. But there are definitely various levels of ability when it comes to reading music. And so it's actually very common for our guys to use learning tracks to learn the charts as well.
We do that when we're learning the music, but when we perform, it's all no music in front of us. Yeah. It's all memorized.
So tell us what it is that you all do every Valentine's Day, which is why we're here today to talk about.
We do something really fun. We form into quartets, and we send four people out, and we sing a medley of a couple of songs to whoever has purchased our Valentine's, singing Valentine's. And we go there and we sing, and four guys dressed in tuxedos, and we give them a rose and a card and send them on their way. We go to people's houses, we go to people's workplaces, restaurants, stores, wherever people are, we sing to them.
Now, how many people are, we've got four of you here today, but the Kentuckians chorus is much bigger. How many total members do you have?
We have about 41 active members right now.
That's a pretty good size group. Uh-huh. On these Valentine's Day gigs that you all run out and do, have there been any funny or bizarre things that have happened, either moments of embarrassment or moments of abject joy or even catastrophes?
Plenty, Tom. I can tell you one experience I did. We went out to a job construction site, and literally there are all men that are doing construction, and we're like, well, we're looking for Bill. And they're like, well, here's Bill right here. He's the electrician or whatever. And we start singing to Bill. You know, and it's a Valentine medley. It's a love song, right? So we're singing to Bill. Bill, we get about maybe four bars into this. Bill goes, that's enough. You're good. Thank you. I'm like, totally get it, Bill. I understand.
Oh, yeah. That's like me when you go to those restaurants and they want to sing happy birthday to you. So, no, thanks. So what other kind of interesting things have happened?
The emotions that we experience or that our subject experiences during a performance can range quite wide. Many are broken down into tears, but several sit there and wonder if it was anonymous, which it has happened. And we had one or two that said, well, I don't know, is this from my husband or from my boyfriend?
That's an awkward
And then
moment.
We usually make a quick exit after that.
That's a head scratcher, isn't it? You witness any marriage proposals or coordinate with any marriage proposals ever?
Yeah, a few years ago.
We did do one. It was a surprise proposal. It was obviously set up with us ahead of time, but we kind of ambushed the young bride, and her parents were hiding in the around the corner and taking pictures and videos of it, and we surprised her with the medley, and actually the young man joined us in singing it with us, and it was a positive experience for everybody.
So she said yes.
Yes, she did.
Oh, bravo, bravo. I don't imagine you've ever been on one of those where they've said no, have you?
Have not.
Oh, good, good.
Not yet. Yeah, not yet.
Does it always work out well in terms of what you all have to do, or do you, because you're walking into a place that you may not have been before. It's not like it could be like walking into, you know, an unfamiliar concert hall that you've never sang in before and you don't know the acoustics. Has that situation ever come up where it's been problematic or?
Well, we usually sing in pretty close quarters, so it doesn't often matter what kind of space we're in. We can generally hear each other pretty well, but we've had some fairly awkward positions where there's not a lot of space, or we're kind of huddled around somebody in an awkward position. You just kind of have to go with the flow and make sure everybody's having a good time.
What's the most bizarre place you've ever had to perform one of these?
A few years ago, one of our quartets got sent to a strip club and had to sing at the strip club.
Wow.
Who got the show, I wonder?
Yeah, which way did it go, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Cross that off your bucket list.
Oftentimes when we go to a place of work, the person who is being sung to doesn't know what's going to happen, but everybody else in the office does. And so they all gather around, and then the subject of the song walks in, and they're trying to figure out what's going on. And so you're not just singing to them, but you're singing to the whole office. And that is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Well, it seems unfair of me to have you on here and not ask you to sing a tune. So I'm going to ask you all if you could favor us with a tune.
We'd be happy to share our Valentine's medley with you, Tom, and your audience.
I love you truly, truly, dear. Life with its sorrow, life with its tear, fades into dreams when I feel you are near. For let me call you sweetheart, I'm in love with you. Let me hear you whisper that you love me too. Keep the love light glowing in your eyes so true. Let me call you sweetheart, I'm in love with you. For I love you truly, I'm in love. In love with you, so in love with you.
Thanks, guys. That was fantastic. I really you can get lost trying to listen to all the parts. So thank you very much. I want each of you to, if you would, tell me what you love about this style of singing.
I love getting together with 30 guys on the risers and all of us singing in harmony together and not bringing anything else to the room except our love of singing harmony together.
I just love the chords. I remember the first time that I attended a rehearsal and I got up on the risers and started singing with the guys, sight reading a lot of the music, and those first few chords hit and I had a tingle down my spine and I was sold, and I continue to get that tingle every time we get together.
Tom, I've been singing as, you know, I started out as a kid singing in children's choir, so I've been literally singing all my life. And I sang with a gospel group, a Southern gospel group, so it's four-part guys, and it's not barbershop, but it's definitely a style of music where you have four guys singing harmony parts. So I did that for like 23 years, and then that group finally phased out, and then I got introduced, somebody invited me to the Kentuckians course, and I knew that they did barbershop and it was four-part harmony music, and my brother and I, we got together and we said, well, I tell you what, let's go and we'll try it for one night, we'll just see if we like it. And we came, we experienced it, we're like, wow, this is awesome, this is super fun, and it's challenging. It's not just, you know, real easy music. It takes some investment of your time and your talents to really master the craft. So after that we were hooked, and I've been in it for many years now.
So my answer is pretty similar to Jeff's. I've been singing since I was a kid, doing a lot of different musical things, including I've sung in the Lexington Singers now for several years. When I, you know, stumbled onto a guest night probably eight and a half years ago now with the Kentuckians, I found I needed to take on the challenge. Right, it's the singing style is it's very exposed. So there's not a lot of room for error. And there's also much more of a performance element than I was used to. So it's really made me become a better musician, a better performer. And not only that, but I mean, singing with these guys who have really become my closest friends and, you know, another family situation that I really value.
So what are the vocal parts, the four vocal parts, just if you can throw out the terminology?
Yeah, so we typically refer to tenor, lead, baritone, and bass. The lead is just what it sounds like. The lead sings the melody most of the time. It's probably, you know, it depends on the arrangement, but 90% or more of the song is typically a lead melody. The bass line is pretty much always the bottom note in the chords. The tenor line is almost always above the lead. And then the baritone, sometimes we call that the garbage part. That's the part that fills in the gaps. A lot of times adds the color notes to the chords, the thirds or the sevenths. It's typically those four parts, even if it's women that sing, or, you know, in my case, I sing a lot of times with my children. I have a bunch of daughters and we sing together, and it doesn't matter. We always still refer to tenor, lead, baritone, and bass.
And that's odd to me, because I would have assumed that the tenor was that the lead was actually the top part and the tenor was under that.
Yeah, that's one of the things that's unique about the style, is that the tenor part is at least 95% of the time up and over top of the lead part. Now the lead parts can get pretty high, but the tenor parts can get really high.
Wow. So can baritone parts. Too,
actually, absolutely. Baritone, barbershop baritone is nothing to laugh at. It's a huge range and takes great skill.
How easy is it to get into? Because when I listen to it, it sounds like the chord members are very close together, and it's a real listening exercise.
Yeah, you know, it depends on the person, but it's real easy to start, especially in a chorus where, you know, there's 40 of us, so you got 5 or 10 guys singing your part, so it's a lot easier to blend that way. You know, we like to get to the point where we all have independence so that we can mix it up on the risers and get a kind of a more interesting blend that way, but it's not bad. It tight harmonies, you know, take some getting used to, but once you get used to it, you get that kind of, as Steve was talking about earlier, you feel those chords. We like to say they lock and they ring, right? You get those overtones, and well, it's a great feeling when you do it, you know it.
I imagine, you know, you can feel it in your chest or wherever you might, wherever it resonates.
Yeah,
with you. I imagine tuning is an important aspect of it as well.
Huge, yeah, very important.
So how can folks find out more about the Kentuckians or even get involved themselves?
Well, our website is the easiest way. We are at thekentuckians.org, and you can find links to the Singing Valentines program there. Also, you can call me at 859-361-3590, and I can get you set up with the Singing Valentine. Or you can email me also at sv@thekentuckians.org. All three of those methods are acceptable. Website is the easiest and most comprehensive, as you can get everything paid for and set up with all the details there. There's a place to put in who we're singing to, any other quirky details you need to give us, how to get into the building, anything like that, as well as the message you want on your personalized card, and it all works pretty smoothly.
Well, I want to thank Rob Langdorf, Steve Broderman, Jeff Degler, and Michael French of the Kentuckians Chorus for being with me today and sharing some music. And in advance, happy Valentine's Day.
Thank you, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, sir.
Listen to Open Studio every Friday during WUKY's Morning Edition and in the afternoon during All Things Considered. Or listen to extended segments at the Open Studio Podcast, available at WUKY.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Do you have an idea for an Open Studio segment? We're always on the lookout for news and events in Central Kentucky's arts and cultural community. Email us at openstudiowuky@gmail.com or visit our Facebook page, keywords Open Studio on WUKY. Your idea may make it on the air. I'm Tom Musgrave. Thanks for listening to Open Studio on WUKY.